The scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 1, 21 through 28. Then they came to Capernaum, and right away on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place and started teaching. They were astonished at his teaching, since he would teach them on his own authority, unlike the scholars. Now right then and there in the meeting place was a person possessed by an unclean spirit, which shouted, "Jesus, what do you want with us, you Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, God's holy man." But Jesus yelled at it, "Shut up and get out of him." Then the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and it came out of him with a loud shriek. And they were all so amazed that they asked themselves, "What's this? A new kind of teaching backed by authority? He gives orders even to unclean spirits, and they obey him." And right away, his reputation spread everywhere throughout the whole area of Galilee. The reading today is from Brian Doyle, Prayer in Celebration of the Greatest Invention Ever, the Wicked Hot Shower. Oh God, help me, bless my soul. Is there any pleasure quite so artless and glorious and simple and unadorned and productive and restorative as a blazing hot shower when you really, really want a hot shower? When you are not yet fully awake, when you are wiped from 2 hours of serious basketball, when you are weary and speechless after trip or trauma? Thank you, inventiveness, for making a universe where there is water and heat and nozzles and towels and steam and hairbrushes and razors for cutting that line that distinguishes your beard from your chest and toothbrushes. Thank you, most of all, generosity, for water. Deft invention, water. Who would have ever thought to mix hydrogen and oxygen so profligately? Not us, but it is everything we are. It falls freely from the sky. It carries us and our toys and joys. It is clouds and mist and fog and sleet and breath. There is no sweeter, more crucial food. It ought to remind us of your generosity every time we sip or swim or shower. It reminded me of you this morning. I bowed gently in gratitude. And now forgive me, I must be going, as there is a small boy hammering on the door and wailing and gnashing his teeth, and there is a disgruntled line forming behind him. And so, amen.
The gospel reading, which later the other reading kind of comments upon, is actually a bit of a difficult one, I think. It's hard to know, first of all, what the story is trying to say, and it's difficult finding a way to translate it to our time. But it isn't something to pass over or ignore. I think it's an important story for Mark. It is Jesus' first miracle in that gospel. Now, the Gospel of John has Jesus do a different first miracle. He changes water into wine. But in Mark's gospel, it is this casting out of an unclean spirit in the synagogue. And it's an important story for Mark. It's Jesus' first direct action on behalf of the empire of God. It's his first confrontation, his first contest of power, at least in the public realm. He did go into the wilderness and faced something there by himself after his baptism, but this is his first public confrontation with an opponent. Now, I don't see this story of Jesus as curing a person of mental illness, even though I know that's often been interpreted that way in modern times. I think we might make a connection with society's response to mental illness and this unclean spirit, but to call an unclean spirit a pre-modern, pre-scientific, pre-Western medicine name for mental illness, I think misses the point of the story. And it does a disservice to those of us who experience mental illness. People with mental illness are not unclean, nor are we possessed by devils or demons. And then, of course, there's Hollywood, and that's the whole horror genre of ghosts and spirits and hauntings and so forth. And that's another modern way of coming to terms with a pre-modern concept that I don't believe does justice to Mark's story or to the mission of Jesus necessarily. So anyway, Jesus goes to Capernaum in Galilee, and he enters a synagogue, a worship center, a church, and he begins teaching. And so he's going into a worship setting, and he teaches on his own authority. In other words, he doesn't say, here's what Moses says in Deuteronomy. He says what he says. Here's what I say. And this is explicit when we get to Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, you've heard what it is said. You've heard what's in the law, but here's what I say. So it's that kind of thing that's happening here. It isn't explicit in Mark's gospel, but that's the sense. Jesus is telling his own truth. And there's no content in the story of what that is. He doesn't say what the teaching is at all. Now, earlier, the only thing really Jesus has said is that the empire of God is at hand. It's right here. Trust the good news. That's the message. And that, presumably, that's what he said here in some way. The empire of God, the kingdom of God is at hand. Trust the good news. And so he teaches with this authority. He's saying it. And the people, it says, are astonished. What does that mean? Curious? Mildly amused? Angry, probably, right? I mean, who's this guy think he is? I mean, even our scholars, our scribes don't talk like that. And then right there, in the midst of it all, this voice speaks and says, Jesus, what do you want with us, you Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, God's holy man. So here's a question. Who is us? Is it a band of demons like that Charlie Daniels song when the devil went down to Georgia? Band of demons join in. I don't know. Are the us a collection of these little devils? A labor union of unclean spirits? Or maybe we think it's like a person who's walking downtown Portland and yelling at people on the sidewalk. A person who we often say is suffering from mental illness. This unclean spirit who speaks in this royal we knows who Jesus is. And the act of naming shows that it's a contest of power. If you can name your opponent, you get the upper hand. That's why politics is really often little more than name calling. That's why we name people and we put them in groups so we can define them and then find a way to dismiss what they have to say. And it's a popular sport. It takes the focus away from whatever the issue might be and puts it on the person. I know who you are. Well, Jesus doesn't play that game. In fact, he orders the unclean spirit to just shut up and get out of him. And the unclean spirit throws the man into convulsions and comes out of the man with a loud shriek. And that's the part that Hollywood likes. And then what? Well, the person never speaks. The person who has the unclean spirit never says anything. It's only the unclean spirit and the group who Mark calls they who speak. Presumably they are the people who are attending the worship, the synagogue. And the first thing they say is, what is this? A new teaching backed by authority. He gives orders even to unclean spirits and they obey him. So the first thing they say is, it's about a teaching, the thing they were astonished about earlier. And apparently this teaching is from what we know so far in Jesus, in Mark's gospel. The teaching is that this God thing, this new world order, this empire, this kingdom of God, there's never a good word for it, is at hand. In other words, right here. Trust and live into this gospel, this good news. A new world order, we might say, has been announced. A new way of doing business. I'm going to suggest, and I don't know this, I'm just playing, but that the us that comes from the lips of the unclean spirit, you're coming to destroy us, and the people in the worship center, are closely linked. It isn't the individual guy who has the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit is embedded within this community itself. Later on in Mark's gospel, when Jesus casts a bunch of unclean spirits whose collective name is Legion into a bunch of pigs and they go down in the river and drown. The symbolism is clear, or the lake and drown. The symbolism is clear that the unclean spirits are some kind of representation of the Roman occupation. So when we think Legion, think Roman Legion, a collection of soldiers. So the story there is a contest about a new kind of teaching from authority represented by Jesus, and the powers that be that have been running the show that have not been so healthy that Jesus is out to destroy. So, when we go downtown again, Burnside Street, and we happen to see something, someone who's yelling things that don't quite make sense to us, we tend to think that individual has a mental illness, and the solution for that is some kind of medication or treatment or putting them away somewhere. We could metaphorically say the person has an unclean spirit who is tormenting her. But is the unclean spirit really within the individual? Here's my point. Or is the unclean spirit the us, who with our various structures of power are unable to stop the situation from continuing to exist? I'm just going to leave that there. But I do want to tell you a little bit, again, personal story in connection with this. I told you a few weeks ago about my son who suicided when he was 25, but the funny odd is that he succeeded then. He made his first attempt when he was in college at 19, and from that time he was with us and we're on watch. And I often wish I could live that again, trying to figure out what I could do different. One of the things that we didn't do is talk about it, because you don't talk about that, because we wanted him to be well and certainly didn't want a stigma of that attached to him as he's trying to live his life and come around. And so it was something that was alone. And that's a lot of what mental illness is. I mean, we have people on our prayer list and we're praying for them who broke a hip or having a surgery. But there's nobody on there that we're praying for, or ourselves, for depression, or anxiety, or having, you know, suicidal thoughts. We don't say that stuff, because it's the stigma, and it's hard to talk about. I'm not saying we should necessarily. It's not safe. That's what is, and that's the pain of what we are experiencing. Studies are coming out that Americans are some of the most unhappy folks. Why is that? Why are there so many medications? And I'm not saying anything about whether to take them or not take them. It's just, it's there. And it's something that we really are not talking about a lot. It's one's own individual thing. And it ends up being private, and it ends up being focused on an individual with a problem. And I often wonder, though, if the various illnesses that are manifest themselves are part of a deeper spiritual illness of going to affect our communities at the local and the larger levels. And in fact, I'm just going to leave that there, too. But I think somehow just saying it hopefully acknowledges that for those of you in a similar position, well, I get you. I know I'm with you. The unclean spirit may not be best translated as a mental illness, but a societal illness, perhaps a societal spiritual illness. And that is why every now and then we need to take a spiritual shower, a hot shower, go to the women's retreat. That was very timely, didn't you think? All of that, to recognize, yeah, I've got a lot on my plate, and a spiritual shower, kind of a cleansing, whether it's through singing and keeping on singing, or some other way, or gathering together in a community, or finding someone you can trust who will keep what you have to say with them in their heart. The said listening is one of the greatest gifts that one individual can give to another, is to be able to listen another's soul into a state of discovery. The spiritual shower, Martin Luther King Jr. talked about that kind of thing when they were out to do, you know, demonstrations, that he was constantly talking about nonviolence and love and recognizing that it has to come, you have to take your own shower before you can go out, and talk about that in another way. You have to not have malice and envy and strife within, over against the opponent, that it has to come from a point of recognizing that we're all kind of in this, that this unclean spirit is within all of us, and we can recognize it, and we recognize it within ourselves, and then we can also recognize it in the larger community, but we respond out of love and healing. And that's what we'll find with the rest of the story as we move through Mark's gospel, that the teaching with authority was represented by Jesus in healing and in embracing and in listening, really deep listening, I think, to other people, listening to them so that they might disclose what is in their hearts and find their healing. Amen.